Ghana Connect. This is Joy 99.7 FM, and my name is Kwiku Asante. Like I told you, you have to join this conversation and ask the NDC all the big questions you want to ask them about their youth manifesto and the big promises, the big pledges that John Dramani Mahama is making. In particular, this promise that university at level 100 will be free. And what exactly are the metrics? How's that going to be done? We have brilliant minds to ask brilliant questions and Osman Arega in studio to answer your question. So let's get right into it, and let me introduce to you my guests who are connecting with us on the show. Osman Arega, like I've been telling you, the Deputy National Youth Organizer of the NDC, connects with us in the studio. Osman, it's good to have you connect with us.
Good evening, my brother, and good evening to your cherished listeners. And if some are viewing to your cherished viewers.
Definitely. People are on Facebook. They are watching this. Collins is a student at the University of Ghana. Collins, it's good to have you connect with us.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity given to me.
Right. Nana Kakari is a Ghanaian in the United States. She has some brilliant views to share on this. Nana, it's good to have you connect on the show again tonight. Jessica is also a student at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. Jessica, good evening. Good to have you connect. Jessica, can you unmute?
Good evening.
Great. And but then...
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. I can also hear you loud and clear. And then Ebenezer Afanyidazi is a journalist. He's our colleague here at Multimedia Group. Eben, good to have you make your debut on Ghana Connect.
Sure. Thank you, Kwiku.
So for those of you who have not been paying attention, this is exactly what the NDC have been saying.
Vote for me, make a job president. Vote for me, make a job president. Vote for me, I want job president. Vote for me, make a job president. I will make you vice president.
Vice president.
Vote for me, make a job president. Vote for me, I want job president. Vote for me, make a job president. I will make you vice president.
For all university entrants into level 100, you are not paying academic fees.
He will set up the National Youth Employment Bureau under the National Youth Employment Agency.
If I come to power, everything will be alright. Then you see what they talk, you don't be saying lies. This one I know face kept confidential. Several times he did suffer, no rescue.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Ghana is experiencing extraordinary hardships. And the youth are also choking under the yoke of these hardships.
No easy.
This being the case, the 24-hour economy initiative is the best and most extraordinary pathway to generating the decent and well-paying jobs that our young people need. The jobs that our young people are waiting for.
KK price to come down, no more suffer. Fishing 88 stroke 4, better plan. Gumshoe different sense inside one man. No more promise and fail, no delay.
We too, we have a formula for the 24-hour economy. And it's a very simple one. Formula 1-3-3. Same job, three people, three shifts.
I think that she you yourself, you go back. Santo professor, no more killer disease. Mosquitoes for the yard, all go freeze. Sophia Nancy see me yesterday for advice. Because he say my advice tonight. Say make I give him advice at today. School fees, I say free school fees.
For all university entrants into level 100, you are not paying academic fees.
Second part of this policy, when President Mahama comes back, he would revamp the student loan trust fund. Mahama is saying when he comes back, policies like in, out, out will be a thing of the past.
We believe that it should be targeted for equity. And besides that, we would have even preferred that this is given as bursaries and scholarships on grants to the universities to administer.
Vote for me, make a job president. Vote for me, I want job president. Vote for me, make a job president. I will make you vice president.
So this is the lowdown. This is exactly what the NDC is promising you. Are you convinced about it? 055-1111997. That's our WhatsApp number. Please send me a message. Let me hear from you what you make of this. If you have questions for Osman Arega, we'll do so. So, Nana, Collins, Jessica, Eben, we want to make this interactive. We want to ask Osman Arega the questions. I just want to sit here and I want to moderate. I just want to throw the questions to him. Four against one. And then all the people on phone and on Zoom and those who will be sending us WhatsApp messages. So let's start from you, Osman. Why this promise? The NDC had been making a lot of noise about free SHS not being targeted. Then all of a sudden you have a program that says, blanket, every person going to level 100 is free. That is about 275 million Ghana cedis. Where are you going to find that money from?
Good evening to you and good evening to your cherished listeners, as I said earlier on, and your viewers also. First and foremost, before I even go into the details of the promise, I just want to congratulate all the youth of this country who followed keenly on the International Youth Day. That was on the 12th of August, as the NDC launched its first of its kind. I mean, this is a novel, the National Youth Manifesto. This hasn't happened in any of the political parties since the Fourth Republic. So the NDC just took a step further to let the young people of this country understand that we take the issues of the youth and the matters of the youth as integral and also as very important. That is why we launched the National Youth Manifesto out of the main manifesto, which will be launched on the 24th of August. And aside from the launching of the National Youth Manifesto, we also engaged His Excellency, the former President John Dramani Mahama, and the incoming President of Ghana, come January 7th, 2025. We hosted about 5,000 youth. That was at the Bukom Boxing Arena, where we had youth from various sectors of life, various sectors of business and the economy, asked teething questions as to what confronted them. So I just want to lay this as preliminaries to thanking His Excellency, the former president, for making time for the youth on this day. Now, there are many achievable, realistic promises that we have on the Youth Manifesto. And these are issues that the NDC has gone around the country and understands the issues that are confronting the youth of this country. You remember quite recently we started our Building Ghana tour, and that was what we did. We took out issues, we listened to people, what they expected of us or what they expected of the next government, or the issues that confronted them, that they felt that the government of the day should step in and also help salvage the situation. So key amongst them, especially one that affected young people, had to do with unemployment. Aside from unemployment too, I believe the promise of the free first year, free fees for the first year has taken center stage, and be able to galvanize some serious commentaries and conversations. You see, there's the issue of people or young people who passed with flying colors, all A's. And I had very classical examples in my area, coming from Boko Central constituency. So many people pass their exams, meaning from the SHS, and how to gain admission into university became a problem. Some people got their admission letters unable to pay. Some people, and you know, most of these admission letters usually come with deadlines. As soon as you receive the admission letter, they tell you you're supposed to pay in the next 14 days or you forfeit the admission. People have come to some of us. I mean, they think that we are their big brothers or we are within the political space, so you are able to afford or to help them. So many people have come, and sometimes you are able to help, sometimes you're unable to help. And I've actually seen people, I've received calls from people, even from Boko Central, where they had to defer and reapply the following year just because they couldn't afford it. And you understand the kind of situation we find ourselves. So as part of Building Ghana tour, as soon as we started going around, these are some of the issues that, you know, emerged. So we proposed that there should be a free fee for the first year. Some schools called it level 100, some schools called it first year. Because the most important thing is how to even get into the four walls of that university. So His Excellency John Dramani Mahama proposed a free fees for the level 100 student. That was a blanket promise. Now, some people ask the question that beyond entering or the beyond gaining admission to become a student, what next? Then there's now the avenue or the lifeline for you to apply for the Student Loan Trust Fund. That will also enable you to continue your education, because you bear with me that the Student Loan Trust Fund is purposely for students and not eligible students. So once you gain an admission letter, automatically you cannot apply for the Student Loan Trust Fund. So you actually have to be a student within the four walls of the university before you are qualified or eligible to access the Student Loan Trust Fund. So we are giving you the lifeline to gain admission or to get into the four walls of the university, and beyond you actually gaining the free first year, then you can continue with the Student Loan Trust Fund.
Yeah.
Now, people ask the question that why do we make a blanket statement? We have done our assessment and we realize that the number of people who are actually unable to pay are more than the number of people that can pay. So people suggest that why don't you make it a matter of needy, brilliant but needy students, etc., etc. I mean, from the analysis we've made, it's better for us to make it a free-for-all promise for now. But mind you, there's the promise of a policy, or there's a policy, and there's actually its implementation. We are not going to rush to implement it in such a way that would affect the policy itself. We are going to sit with stakeholders, we're going to sit with students, we're going to sit with teachers, we're going to sit with the lecturers, we will sit with all agencies, and even those who have the technical know-how aspects, before we go into its implementation. So okay. in the time of implementation, if it is prudent for it to be tweaked or amended a bit to deal with some category, it will be done. And that will come from the recommendation that will come from either parents, students, experts, etc.
All the stakeholders.
Yes.
Osman, thank you. Thank you. I want you to hold it there for me. Let me take some views around the table. Then we can throw the questions at you. Eben.
Hello.
That makes sense, don't you think?
To a large extent, yes. But then, I think that just as the question you asked regarding the concerns that the NDC itself has raised in opposition regarding the implementation of free senior high school and all the flaws that come with it, as much as it's a good policy, the question one will ask is, how are we going to fund it and how sustainable it is? And that's a big question. I mean, nobody disputes the fact that university education is very expensive, and everywhere in the world it is. It's not cheap. Of course, there are also countries that are offering university education for free from beginning to end. And so I think we are also being cautious by saying that, okay, for now we can only do level 100, which is a critical point of entry. But also what that means is that the numbers probably will increase, because when free SHS started, the first year, We know that the enrollment went up exponentially, and we should be expecting that as well for the universities. What that means is that even somebody who probably has finished SHS long ago and has not been able to go to the university will want to take advantage of this policy once it starts. And so it's going to be huge. Now, the question is, beyond the affordability, the concern here is that I listened to the University Teachers Association of Ghana, and they make valid points that, one, government subventions to universities have even dwindled over the years, and that's a challenge. And so if you're having huge numbers coming in from the beginning and it's for free, the question is that the demand may outstrip the resources of universities, and there could be an impact in terms of infrastructure expansion and the trouble this could bring for the university. So for me, I think I will not stand here to condemn it, no. I remember when free SHS idea was conceived, many of us criticized it, and I was one of the people. I criticized it, but just in 2017, when it started, I wrote an article, and I titled it, Why I Now Support Free SHS. And for the same reason, I'm very cautious in giving a blanket rejection of this proposal and saying that, oh, no, we can't do it, let it go. No, I'll tread a bit cautiously. But I think it's a great policy, but we cannot run away from the fact that knowing how we have been terrible as a country in terms of implementation, that is what scares me. I always say that this country has never lacked great ideas. And after all, this is not a new idea anyway. I mean, we are not the first in any kind of free education in the tertiary. We are not the first. But we are taking steps to try this for the first time. So it's not a novelty, really. But the question is that, knowing our record of implementation,
exactly,
are we going to cross this hurdle?
Are you going to
call? I want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Of the doubt. Okay, Eben, hold it there for me. Jessica, you are in KNUST and you see firsthand the struggles of students. How have they been receiving this, and what are the concerns they've been sharing elsewhere? And if you have some questions for Osman.
All right, so I do not have a few questions. I don't have questions per se, but I just have, you know, my views, personal takes on it.
Right.
And these past days, after the National Youth Day that this was said, you know, there has been a little uproar, both from the lecture side and from the student side. So first, I'll take the lecture side. You know, currently in KNUSD, we are facing an expansion problem. We have exceeded the capacity the school can hold. And so now you can see people doing half days. There's a name for it, like part-time schooling in the school. it's like sandwich, but they come normally after 4 p.m. or something. That's because the numbers have exceeded the maximum capacity halls we have. And even in my course per se, we are doing double track now. So we have group A doing biological science, group B doing biological science. So we have this problem already. Now, what, like he said earlier, the person who spoke before me said earlier, what this is going to cause is, if it's free, we are going to have a lot of people, you know, swooping in or swarming in the first, you know, stage of it. Do we have the infrastructure for those things? Are our lecturers well equipped for this? Because even now with the recent high numbers due to the free SHS, the lecturers are not having maximum breaks because one, questions to be marked are plenty. Our numbers have doubled over time. So they have to do extra work with the teaching, extra work with the marking and everything. And with this also coming in, what are we going to do to, you know, balance the staff that they are in? Are they going to have payment increases? Are they going to get more staff for them and everything? To the buildings, what are we doing? Are we expanding it for them? Will it all be within the 4 years? Will it not break Ghana's bank? I mean, already we are complaining that we do not have enough. So will it already not break Ghana's bank and everything? Hmm. Now, per to the student side, I think we have a lot of challenges as youth, especially when it comes to education. It is nice for you to think of Ghanaian students and say, oh yes, you know, I would want to pay for first year fees for them. But as we speak, those of us already inside, there are problems that we've been complaining about. We are talking about buildings, we need hostels, we need a whole lot of things. Hostel prices might drop and everything. So I feel like, you know, it's a reach for you to just skip all those problems that we are facing and just, you know, say we are paying fees for all first year students, especially when you say you want to address the needs of Ghanaian youth in education. That's what I think. Because paying utility bills is a thing for us. Mm. Now hostel fees charge the building fee, then they charge utility bills. You could have paid utility bills. You could have, you know, said maybe there'll be a policy on hostel fee increments and stuff like that. Mm. But just jumping right from that and going to school fees free for first year, I think it's a reach.
I think it's personally. A reach. I mean, right. Nanaka Kari, you live in the US. You see how this is done. The Bellevue system, Harvard, and all these big universities, you get admission, you can apply for scholarship and all that, and then they can take it from there. The NDC say they've done a research, and the research shows that there are so many students who just need help. So just give it to everybody in the first place. Briefly, what are some of the concerns you have about this so that we can put them to Osman?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, let me make a little correction to Osman. John Dramani Mahama is the former president of Ghana, not incoming president of Ghana. In your introduction, you said something, quote in part, you said, on August 12th, we decided to engage John Dramani Mahama, former president of Ghana and incoming president of Ghana. That's incorrect. We head to the polls December 7th. Until then, John Dramani Mahama is just the flag bearer of NDC, not the incoming president. So I just want to fact check this in real time. Now, back to your question, Kweku. While I appreciate the bold promise of the NDC, I think the NDC need to be honest and transparent. We all know that it's highly impossible that you are going to be able to afford the tuition of all incoming level 100 students. That's not correct. That's just cannot be. That's just maybe the talking point you're putting out or the narrative you want to carry out there just so you can get the vote. But Ghanaian people need, they deserve you guys to be honest and transparent. And I'm going to tell you why. Here in the United States, I'm saying this because the developed countries cannot even, we keep saying there are colleges in Europe or US that are colleges or tuition is free. No, there's a caveat to that. I had my education in Ghana. I continued here in the United States. In the United States, there are five major ways that you can sponsor your education, your college education. The first is the federal aid. That is the government aid, which I think the NDC is alluding to. The federal aid, you don't just get the aid, or you just don't get all free tuition for all incoming students or whatever. That's not incorrect. I don't think any government can even afford that. And he kind of did not answer the question you asked, Kweku, where are you going to get the funds? But we'll address that later. And then you have, with the federal aid, there are some factors that come to play. The economic background of the parent, right? The parent that are paying the tuition of the student, parent or the guardian. There's also, they also look at the academic record of the student herself or himself. So these are just a few that I'm pointing out. So if your parents are making more than what the government has set, the amount the government has set, you're not going to get the federal aid. That's just a no-no. So this is where I think that after they made their manifesto public on Monday, people then came, or the issue of equity and equality came into mind, that how are you going to give the same pay for the tuition for a student whose parents can barely make a living, or somebody whose parents is like a cashier in a grocery store, compared to the students whose parents own all these business moguls or all these companies. That needs to be addressed. You have to look at that. I think I was Joy News actually dive deeper into this situation, realized that between 2020 and 2021 academic year, there were about 180,000 students who were admitted into these universities. Out of that, I think only almost 75,000 actually filled their spots in these colleges. So then the question was, what happened to the 43,000 students that did not make it to colleges, right? So I think NDC is not being transparent and not being honest with the Ghanaian people. You have to do that.
Right.
That free for all is not the truth. It's highly impossible. And I think he just made a comment that,
I'll come back to you again. I want to hear from Collins, then we'll get to Osman. Osman has noted, me myself have noted a lot of concerns, a number of them on my paper. So Collins, briefly, what views do you also have so that then Osman can address the gamut of all these issues that have come up?
Thank you once again. Myself... Yeah, I won't say it's a bad policy because I'm a beneficiary of that of the free SHS, which began in 2017. And in as much as I could afford, when I went to school, I saw a lot of people in school who, had it not been free SHS, they were never going to get the opportunity to be in senior high school, or it was going to take years. So I know how it is, how difficult it is for some people to go through various levels in our education. So I won't say it is a bad policy, but in general, my concern is on the quality of our education at this particular moment. Because you go to various universities, I mean, level 400 University of Ghana, the university actually are putting a lot of measures in place to cut down the number of admissions. So you go to University of Ghana right now, last month, Pro Vice Chancellor, Professor Gordon Awandari, made mention of the fact that now they are not going to admit more than the number of students that they are graduating. So this particular year, if they are graduating 15,000 students, that's the number that they are going to admit. And the reason is because of the pressure on the infrastructure, pressure on students. Universities have not been able to employ teaching staff for years now, all because of embargo that government has placed on them. And government didn't do it out of the blue or out of the moon. There are a lot of challenges or financial issues contributing to that. Now, government is trying to wean itself off from funding public universities. So now, even in the second semester, GTEC and Parliament approved that universities, public universities, should take 100 cedis from each student, and they term that as online teaching support. And they did it. First time that I heard that we increased school fees in the middle of a semester, in the middle of academic year. So second semester. So that's what has been happening. Mm. So my concern has been on the quality that we are trying to, and also the pressure that nobody is talking about. Last week or this week, Mr. Otukono was on PM Express, and almost everything he was mentioned was on equity, equity, equity. We're not looking at the quality in hand. Quality We've been speaking to the some of the professors, and they also are concerned with the quality. So for me in particular, now my concern is, how are you going to fund the free tertiary for level 100 students, and how are you going to sustain it? And now that Ghana is under IMF, we are in our first day, less than 1 year, and we signed a 3-year agreement with IMF. Are we considering it? Are we negotiating this? How was IMF response to this? Has the NDC considered that? There are a lot of questions that I want to raise about this.
And I'll come back to you again. So, Osman, questions of source. Why don't you give subventions? What is the? How will you deal with this, with the expansion of the university infrastructure? There are those who said that you've just not been honest about this. This is not possible. And why would you not allow students who can pay, let them pay, and all those issues, and the quality issue? These are a number of gamut issues that the panelists have raised. How do you respond?
Yes, thank you very much. I would try to respond to them as quickly as possible. The issue of funding, I think if you heard His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, and for us, it's not just about making a blanket promise or making a promise for the purposes of winning elections. We're making a promise and a policy for the purposes of solving teething problems that affect the youth of the country. One, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama has stated, even in the Volta region, that people ask about the source of funding. And he gave a classical example that here is a case that government machinery spending alone for this year is 2 billion Ghana cedis. And all you need to pay for the level 100 students who will be going to school is 275 million Ghana cedis. For him, he states emphatically that I am not planning on spending 2 billion on government machinery. So if it is going to take me to release a percentage or to reduce government spending of 2 billion Ghana cedis just to make sure that all level 100 students are being catered for, I will do that. He stated, I'm not going to travel in a luxurious plane for 1 year. That will cost this country 60 million Ghana cedis. I will not do that. And he stated again, I will not go and invest money in digging a hole that is going to cost this country millions of dollars. I would not do that. As a country, we ought to set our priorities right. And don't forget that even in addition to all of those spending, the president still travels around carrying his chair in a whole vehicle. That's all is part of the wastage of the country. So His Excellency John Dramani Mahama is telling that I'm not going to spend 2 billion on government machinery. I'm going to cut government spending and to make sure that that is channeled to make sure that students are catered for so far as the free first year fees is concerned. Now, with the issue of I think there was another issue of access or access, or the quality, the quality, yes,
infrastructure and all these issues,
yes, infrastructure, yes.
Because when I was in Lagos, we could be 400 in the class. I mean,
yes, so you agree with me, not only government is putting in place so many infrastructure to help with that, you know, GetFund has always been the baby of the NDC, but for the fact that in recent times it has been collateralized and GetFund is choked and there's nothing that can be done about it, you realize that the universities themselves, in their own ingenuity, have been able to establish most of these satellite campuses across the country. You go to University of Ghana, I think they have satellite campuses all over every region.
Almost
every region, they have satellite campuses. You go to UCC, they have satellite campuses in almost every region. And these are plans from the university to expand so that you don't have thousands of people having to, you know, gather at a common place or a campus so as to reduce the crowding. So, and you would remember that even during the implementation of the free SHS, what was the NDC's position? We said that we needed to establish as many community day schools so that we do not crowd students within a certain or a few secondary schools. And we stated that we needed to set up the community day schools to be able to increase the access so that if you are implementing it, once it's taken off, the quality in itself is not jeopardized. People try to analyze it or just oppose it with the position of the free SHS. The free SHS largely has had its issues, especially with issues of accommodation, feeding, etc. And you bear with us that the position of the NDC at the time that we needed to increase the community day schools was the best position. Today, people have taken that position. So we are telling you that the fact that we are saying that we're going to pay first year fees for university students doesn't automatically mean that every student would have to converge at the University of Ghana Legon campus. No, you agree with me. Even in Bolgatanga, they have University of Ghana campus in Bolgatanga. Yeah. Even in Tamale, they have University of Ghana campus in Tamale. So these universities, and not just University of Ghana, UCC, even, I mean, Gempa, etc., they have all these satellite campuses. So what it means is that there are people who could have gained admission to these satellite campuses who simply cannot pay. And that is what we are looking at. And we have stated time without number. This is not a policy that we are looking at rushing to implement because it is a campaign policy. It's a policy that we have to sit with experts and look at how we are going to implement it in such a way that would not be detrimental or sabotage or be injurious to the quality of tertiary education. So this is a message to young people that their fears should be allayed. With the issue of funding, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama has addressed it. With the issue of quality, we have told you how he's going to go about it. And in fact, with the issue of infrastructure within tertiary education, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama has stated that the first thing he will also seek to do is how to decollateralize the already collateralized GET fund. And it should go to its primary mandate, that is to expand education from basic all the way to tertiary. So you see that there's a comprehensive plan as to how we are going to implement the policies and the promises that we put out.
Someone is just texting me. Yeah.
Yes, and with the issue of the incoming. Incoming simply means something that will happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why she has a problem.
You need to state the fact. He's the flag bearer. You are here representing.
I am optimistic about it.
Nana, hold on. I'll come back to you. Yeah. So, Osman, please.
But I hope, I don't know if I haven't tackled the question. Maybe you are
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think,
both
there were comments. One, well, this cover fee-paying students, level 100 fee. You know, fee-paying, sometimes they pay. At the University of Ghana, whilst I was there, let's say a regular student will pay 1,400. Fee-paying students will pay 4,200 students.
Now, so
and then there's a question of, how do you deal with this in the midst of an IMF program?
Yeah, so you agree with me that with the issue of fee-paying students, most of the time, I stand to be corrected, but I have been on school fees negotiation, but when I was local NOOCs president, sometimes with the issue of fee-paying, it's optional, most especially when students do not make the cutoff point to a certain, course, then they are given the option that then you can pay the fees. Mm. So if you have decided to pay your fees, meaning that you are already qualified.
That means you can pay your own fees.
You can pay your own fees. I mean, the issue of fee paying has most of the time has always been optional for students to say, okay, I do not qualify for this course, but I can pay my fees.
IMF.
So now the issue of IMF, John Dramani Mahama has stated that as part of the first things he has to do is to go into renegotiation on the IMF issues. And as part of the renegotiation, of course, some of these policies that we seek to implement will also come to place. Remember, he also spoke about the E-level. He said that as part of his renegotiation with IMF, he will have to look at how they can, you know, look at other sources of revenue and remove the e-levy, or I mean, we'll have to stop the e-levy betting tax as well. So IMF, of course, we understand where we find ourselves, and of course, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama will go into a renegotiation with IMF. So we are in a better place, and we are all looking at building the Ghana we all want to be in. You, I, everybody.
Jessica, do you feel your concerns have been well answered? He's spoken about how they are going to address the infrastructure challenge, build more, and ensure that satellite campuses are doing quite a good job. Do you find that satisfied, or you still think that the NDC should probably drop this and look at other issues?
Well, they don't necessarily have to drop this, but they just have to question it with addressing the actual needs of the students in the university campuses. But I think so far his explanation is fine. And like he said, I like the fact he said that they are not going to be in a rush to implement it just because it's a campaign promise, but they are going to involve stakeholders. I think it's very important because, you know, the university is supposed to be an absolute exemplary system. So if you want an ecosystem that should function properly, the university is one. So I think they're not rushing it to disrupt the university system like they've done to the senior high school systems. It will be fine. That's if and only if he should adhere to his promise and they implement it the proper way. If not, it's going to put the university system in great shambles, and it's going to cause a brain drain because nobody would want to be in an university system that everybody's complaining about lack of funds, lack of this, lack of that. So I think it's fine so far, unless maybe there's further explanation that you could give on it.
Well, but Nana, so apart from the incoming bid, what do you think?
Well, I still have concerns about the all level 100. I don't get it. Like, how all? Because that's, again, bringing up the issue of equity and equality. So if he can further explain that, because I may have listened to some of the officials within the NDC, and I'm getting different narratives and different. Some are saying all, but then when it comes to the implementation stage, that's going to change. We have to make, you know, just let us know, is it all or it's not? It's just we will then eventually revamp the promises, which then is a problem because you're making a campaign promises. The last thing too that I have is he said that again, we're not in a rush because we're going to sit with experts. Don't you think you should have sat with experts before you have drafted the manifesto? I think that's the other way around. You should have sat with the experts or talked to the stakeholders before you put it in the manifesto to make such bold promises.
Eben, I mean, closely related to the point that Nana has just made, do you get the sense that the NDC really have a lid on this, as in they've done their homework well, just like the concerns people raised with free SHS, they were ignored, and then they came right back in the face of government with a big slap?
Kwaku, I think that the NDC is probably challenging itself really hard on this, because if they fail on this, we will never forgive them, especially on the history of the free SHS and what they said about it, and they deciding to challenge themselves this much. And like I have said, I will not be a naysayer and say it's impossible. As for the possibility, they can do it. I think the question is sustainability. That's the issue. But impossibility, it's okay to challenge yourself and dream big. And there's really nothing wrong with that. And I also think that by saying they are just doing level 100 first year, it means that they are being cautious, because probably they know that they cannot do a full free. But also, I think that while this particular policy is exciting, we are not even paying full attention to other portions of the manifesto, especially the one on education.
Definitely.
Because they also talk about going to give free tertiary education to persons with disability. That also comes at a huge cost. They also tell us that free SHS will be extended to private SHS, and we have not even looked at that as well. All these are a huge cost. But then also, I tell myself, a few days ago, I made a post on Facebook, and I said that if free SHS had not been implemented, probably the money that has been used to give people free SHS would have gone into private pockets. According to the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, they did a report, and then in 2023, they told us that Ghana loses 13.8 billion annually through corruption. That's around $3 billion. Now, imagine that probably this alone, we're able to cover a lot of the leakages in our system. I think that my biggest worry as a Ghanaian should be the monies that go down the drain through corruption.
Yeah.
And really not about the money that we use to educate our citizens and make them employable.
Right. So it's big campaign season. Osman has a lot to do. Osman will take leave of us pretty shortly. But there are questions from social media and concerns that I would want him to address before he would leave. Then we can come around the table and then conclude. Michael Papani actually joins me in studio. Michael, what are people talking about?
Quite a, a number of them. I was trying to run through them because there are questions that I'm sure that they want answers from the NDC. Let's start from what this one is from the USA. It's not a question, but says that USA has what's called the Pell Grant for first degree. As long as you qualify financially, this grant is more like free tuition for all university students that qualify. So for just first years, it's doable. That's from Christofori all the way from the Washington in the USA. And this one from Francis here in Accra says, those continuing students who are raising issues should stop it. It's selfishness. Since they have all those issues, what is the current government doing about it? Let's go to your namesake Kweku in Medina, where you also stay. Wow. It says that this so-called free academic user fees of 2,500 Ghana cedis is misleading. There's a difference between academic user fee and tuition fee. UCC level 100 medical students tuition fee is 14,000 Ghana cedis. UG pharmacy school level 100, we are talking about 9,000 cedis. And UG business school, we are talking about 6,000 Ghana cedis. So tuition fee is different. So if they say they are going to pay that, they feel that they both have, I only taking a small portion of that. Kweku from Medina, thank you. This one from, Mr. APC at Asokwa Constituency says that the opposition NDC has been criticizing government's free SHS policy, arguing that it's too expensive and unsustainable. They have now pledged to review or even discontinue the program if they came to power. They didn't say that, actually. We've heard President Mahama say that several times, that he's for it, but he felt that implementation was a problem. But the point is that if NDC raised a problem about wholesale fee for everybody, why should you come with this? Well, finally, this one's from Spintest from Nana says, please, Ghanaian universities should not allow the policies to bring their freebies to their institutions. Because I was trying to actually go through my MIS web to try and fetch out how much I paid as specifically academic user facility fees. And those ones are separate from the other charges that you actually pay, even though as your school fees. Yeah. But unfortunately, it looks like after 4 years after the university,
They are trying to limit your access. So I'll come to you, Collins, pretty shortly. But if you have a question, do that for me briefly, then Osman will take that, and then you can take it further, we can wrap up.
I want to look at it. Then how are we also going to look at the challenges that we are facing at the secondary level? He himself has identified some of them, infrastructure. So if you are planning spending over 250 million Ghana cedis on only teaching fees at tertiary level, then where are we also going to get the money from to fund that of the infrastructure at the secondary level? So that's what I'm looking at.
Right,
or
Osman,
we are going to ignore that too.
Yeah, Osman. So there are big questions, NSHS, free SHS. The NDC have said the implementation has been a mess and they say they will fix all that. It will require a lot of money, like he's saying. How do you fix all that? The big promises that you've made in your youth manifesto, money, 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 for a country that is under an IMF program, for a country with huge, hole in its budget, funding, a lot of these questions have come up. And then your last words, then you can take it fast.
Yes, thank you very much. There's the question of funding. Everyone is asking, where are you going to get the money from? Where are you going to get the money from? But what we need to understand, and key amongst many things, is about government setting its priorities right. It's about government cutting most of the excessive spending. It's about government cutting its profligate expenditure. We are currently in an IMF program. Why? Just because people decided to spend beyond what was expected of them. And people decided to spend on things that do not directly affect us, or that will not add to our development or our GDP. John Dramani Mahama has stated, time without number, that the next NDC administration, which is here to save this country, is not going to engage in profligate expenditure. And you will realize that most of these programs that we draw out are not even up to the kind of money that have been lost under this administration to individuals, to inflated contracts, to digging a hole, etc., etc. John Dramani Mahama has stated, time without number, that we are going to complete all our e-blocks to make sure that we are able to reduce the pressure and the crowding or the overcrowding within the SHS in the boarding facilities. You quantify that and realize that compared to what has happened under this government, it's just a drop in the ocean. We have stated 275 million Ghana cedis we used to pay for students in the first year. And let's quantify that. How much has been lost to digging the hole? Over 300 million Ghana cedis.
400 million.
400 million Ghana cedis. How much has been lost through the ambulance case? That was around $35 million. Mm-hmm. That is also over 275 million Ghana cedis. You ask yourself, how much has been lost through the president's own decision to fly a private jet? That is 60 million Ghana cedis. So you would realize that there's been excessive spending. There's been profligate spending under this government. That if this government had just set its priorities right, all these policies that we are seeking to do, you realize that when you do the mathematics, it's just a drop in the ocean compared to how much has been lost under this government through either stealing, corruption, or just people's decision to spend in very reckless manner.
Right.
Now, I think the lady raised an issue that it wasn't properly thought through. I mean, when a party is putting together its manifesto, there are professors, there are people, experts within it who draw the policy. Now, you agree with me that drawing and designing a policy is different from implementing the policy. So you don't expect to see the end of the policy at the beginning of the policy. It doesn't work that way. It's like building a house. I am an architect by profession. I can put up a design for you. You get to the land, you start building, you realize that it's either muddy, it's a waterlogged area, or it's full of rocks. And we'll have to redesign, we'll have to tweak the design a bit for you. So putting a policy together, you don't expect to see the end of the policy at the beginning of the policy. So experts have been put together. We have a wonderful manifesto committee that was headed by Professor Danso, and he has a team of very competent people who put the manifesto together. When it comes to its implementation, we will know the aspects and the people to put together to implement it. And believe you me, we are going to implement a very beautiful manifesto. And I have said time without number that His Excellency John Dramani Mahama would implement every promise that you find in the NDC's manifesto. So I'm still calling on young people to come out. I would have loved to go beyond the time to answer most of the questions. But I will still call on young people out there, we'll call on old people out there, that they should get ready, they should come on board. Let us build the Ghana I want to be in. Let us join the NDC, let us join His Excellency John Dramani Mahama to be able to salvage this country from the current mess, the current comatose, and the current lies and thievery that we find ourselves in. And right. Inshallah, come 7 December 2024, I believe we all would see that change that we have. I believe, Kweku, you also join that train for us to build the
we
Ghana.
Shall see.
I believe,
Collins,
my brother, you also join
we
us to build the Ghana that we all want to be in. Thank you very much. It was beautiful pleasure being with you. I hope to come here very often.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Osman. It's a pleasure having you on. And we are just about to wrap up, and Osman can take leave of us because he has some very important meetings to attend as part of the NDC's campaign and all the issues that is going on. But the MPP themselves are launching their manifesto, the big manifesto. They haven't done a youth manifesto or market manifesto or whatever, launching everything on Sunday. Eben, few seconds, what are your expectations ahead of next week?
Well, I'm just expecting that, for me, I expect most of the policies will obviously be around the same themes, and just that the names may just differ. They will want to go toe-to-toe. And so I'm expecting to see a lot of similar policies, basically.
Nanakari, you've raised a lot of concerns about the NDC and how they've lined up this particular youth manifesto, the costing and all that. MPP are going to launch their own manifesto. What are you expecting?
I hope they put out something honest, something transparent, and address both the pros and cons when they are drafting their manifesto. We do not expect them to give us how the implementation is going to end up, but we want to get something real and not just live in a wonderland and give us something that they're dreaming of, but something that can actually come into reality.
Jessica, what are your own expectations? NPP launch manifesto on Sunday.
Well, I would appreciate it very much. I and other Ghanaians, other concerned Ghanaians, will appreciate it very much if they keep in touch with reality. We want them to keep in touch with reality. We don't want any out-of-blown promises, out-of-proportion promises. We do not want promises that will be made in a rush just because they want to win our votes. We want real promises. We want to see them address the problems that they created because they are the current government. So the problem they created, we are hoping that they have bold solutions for it.
Bold
and
solution.
How to get us out of this economic
bold solutions.
Mess.
That's exactly yes. Dr. Baumia's tagline. Bold solutions. Collins, MPP on Sunday. What are your own expectations?
Majority of their policies, they've already announced some of them. Majority of them. But I'm looking at them coming out to the sources of how they are going to fund some of these policies. That's what is important. Because you come and has been it has been borrowing, and already we have a debt deficit to about 89% of our GDP, which is so wrong. So they have to come out with how they are going to fund some of these policies. What the NDC are saying, I personally do not agree with the fact that they need to cut down corruption. They've been in government before. Former president has been in government.
What are you saying? You don't agree that they have to cut down corruption?
I agree that we have to, but can they and will they do it? We have seen them before. So that is not the source of funding. They have to...
Give us something tangible.
Yes.
Definitely, Collins. Thank you very much. It's big, and there are many people who have shared concerns that political parties must come up with their manifesto with real costing and where exactly they're going to fund. The very blanket issues about, oh, we'll cut corruption, we'll cut expenditure, well, they are just too blanket. And people say they want specifics. And John Mahama said they will uncap Get Fund, and they will use Get Fund to do a lot of these things. And so thank you very much for all of you who have been listening. This has been an exciting edition of Ghana Connect, where we have been interrogating the NDC's youth manifesto, getting the answers for how exactly they are going to do the kind of things they've promised. Thank you very much, Osman Arega, Deputy National Youth Organizer of the NDC. Collins, he just heard him speak, a student of the University of Ghana. Nana Kakari, always a delight listening to her, based in the United States. Nana Kakari, last week somebody butchered your name and said you are called Nana Kari Kari. That's not your name. Your name is Nana Kakari. For people should take note themselves. And then Jessica, always a delight hearing from you on Ghana Connect. And I hope you do come on every time that we invite you. And then Ebenezer Fanyadazi, you also made your debut on the show today. Thank you for connecting with us. My name is Kweku Asante. The library is up next with Andy Dusty. We'll be back again same time next week. And from next week, Ghana Connect will also be on TV. We'll share details with you in the coming days. Have a very great weekend. And the leagues are all back. And I'm excited. I'll see you soon.